In commemoration of the 500th anniversary of the birth of Martin Luther, we present Stories of Great Christians. We greet our friends everywhere with Chapter 1 of The Monk of Wittenberg, the story of Martin Luther. This is another in the series, Stories of Great Christians, and is brought to you by the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. This is the story of the Reformation. That portion of history that has caused so much controversy in the Christian church, but which brought to it the rebirth of truth which had long lain dormant. Our story may not always be pleasant to consider, but it is true. It is part of history, and these are its facts. The 15th century. It dawned and spread over a world that was grim and decadent. It steered its ugly course over a Europe that was becoming increasingly confused. The people had been gay and had laughed. But as the 15th century unfolded, some of the laughter changed to a smile, and then to a sarcastic grin.
I am a church and have so little to offer this situation. In times past, we've been pure, undefiled, but now we're a mixture of strange rites, practices, molded into the cast of an iron-bound philosophy. Why, even God's salvation carries with it a price tag. Our church.
I know, Father. Now the church that sang Christ's glory in the first century has become a marketplace, where morals are bartered like vegetables.
Yes, and so few seem aware. The church does it, so it must be right. What have we done? What can be done to remedy it?
Nothing. Nothing but wait. Somewhere, sometime in our changing world, there will come a leader. Perhaps God is preparing him now.
Oh, I pray he is.
This is a time that calls for God's leader. He will send one. He always has in the past.
If not, we're finished.
Yes, Father. If not, we are finished.
But even as our people spoke of doom, they felt differently underneath. They still had sparks of faith and hope. The torch which Christ had set ablaze awaited God's man of the hour. Some thought they had found him in a man named Huss, John Huss.
Come on, Huss. They want you upstairs.
Huh? Oh, yes.
Were you asleep down here?
No, I was just thinking.
That's the way it is with you heretics. They can chain your bodies, but they cannot chain your thoughts. They can burn your books and even burn... Well, here's hoping your thoughts are important. They are about your last.
The fire burns brightly, Hoss. The fire waits for you. It is hungry.
I am ready.
You are a religious fanatic, trying to tell the church what is wrong with it. There is nothing wrong with the church. You will soon learn that. The church is the church.
Some lost all hope. Then Huss was burned at the stake. Some turned their attention to other hopes, like the young man Columbus and his strange talk of the unknown beyond the horizon. But in others, hope remained, A hope that realized itself 67 years after Huss was martyred. In 1483, in the very heart of our country, Germany, a boy, the son of a miner, and they named him Martin Luther.
I was that boy, that peasant's son. My father, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather were peasants. And that is good. I say only good because there is little sense in boasting of one's ancestry. My father felt that, too. My father, a diligent peasant miner, and yet so firm of character as to be obstinate. A hard-working German.
This is the last one. This is difficult work.
Rest for a moment, Hans. You will become ill with so much work.
You are one to talk. You shouldn't be here at all. The baby only a few days old and you out here. You should be resting.
They need firewood and I am able to carry it. It is all right, my dear. I am strong.
Fortunately for us all. If only I could get work again in the mines, then we wouldn't have to struggle here in the forest.
There are others who are suffering. They are not unique. Besides, I have faith that our day of good fortune will come again.
Yeah, faith. There's little else we have.
Dear Hans, you are too bitter. We have a great deal. A family, little Martin.
Yeah. You are right, Margaret. I was too bitter. We do have much for which to be thankful. In fact, I'm even a little thankful to be poor.
To be poor?
In this day and age, the children of rich people do not often turn out well.
You are right. But Hans, whether we are rich or poor, I know our little Martin will turn out well.
You say that merely because he was born on a saint's day. And just because we named him after that saint.
Of course. Martin of Tours was a saint. A deep faith in God.
Martin was known for his kindness and goodness. For the most part, it was an honor to be identified with him. But there were times when I would have preferred never to have heard of him.
Stop that! My coat, lad, isn't what Saint Martin would say.
Oh, look what you have done to my coat. What are you talking about?
Isn't your birthday on Saint Martin's Eve?
Yeah, but what has that got to do with
it? And aren't you named after Saint Martin?
And what if I am? My coat,
I heard that Saint Martin ripped his coat in two to share it with a beggar.
Oh. You do not act like a saint.
To allow your only coat to be ripped past repair.
I think the boy has had enough, Hans.
Enough? We are not rich. The ripped coat is a terrible waste. It is not enough. I will teach this young man the meaning of care.
Father was a good man, and a strict one, and he did care. If he was too strict at times, it was because he was concerned for the future of his children. He used to quote the wise precept, "He that loveth his son chasteneth him betimes." Yeah, my father, though severe, was concerned with the well-being of his family.
Margaret, are the children sleeping?
They were a bit ago when I looked. Why?
Margaret, we must leave Iceland.
Leave? You must be joking, Hans.
It is no joke to try to provide for a family when there are no means.
I know, forgive me. When do you propose to go?
As soon as we can.
And where?
Mansfeld.
Mansfeld? But that is a good 5 leagues distance from here.
It will be a long journey, to be sure. But there are mines in Mansfeld. Possibly there I can get enough
what
work.
What kind of mines are there at Mansfeld?
Copper mines.
But you have never mined copper.
Mining is mining, and it pays more than wood cutting in the forest.
Well, if that is your decision, they will go.
I want our children to get an education. I was always too poor to study. But I want our children to have that opportunity.
Especially Martin.
Yeah, especially Martin. He takes to books more readily than most children.
Education is not for the poor, Hans.
And why not? Some have done it. Some still do it. God gives us heads so that we may study. Martin has been given a good head. The few things that I can tell him and that he can read from the books I have are not enough. Martin must have an organized education. At least as much of one as a poor miner can afford. We must move to Mansfeld at once.
As I grew, I was given more and more responsibility. My father used to tell me that I had to earn my keep. The discipline of that home had more to do with what I thought in later life than I could ever estimate.
Martin, when I call you, you are to come at once.
Yeah, Mother.
Are you ready to gather wood with me?
Yeah, I have my basket.
Good. We must make at least 3 trips to the forest today. It will be winter soon enough, and we will need all the firewood we can get. Now then, let us be on our way. Oh, wait a moment. Here comes your father.
Ah, my laborers are preparing for work.
Good. At this rate, we shall be the warmest family in Mansfeld.
How was it at the mine today, Hans?
Oh, it is not easy work, my dear. The dust gets into your lungs, and it seems you can never again breathe clean, fresh air. Well, Martin, were you going to help your mother?
Your father?
Good. Someday soon you will be able to help me in the mines.
Why must we always be so concerned with work?
It is because we are poor, Margaret, that is why. But remember my promise. Before Martin works in the mines, we will send him to school. Poor or no, our Martin will still have the opportunity to be educated.
My father and mother spoke frequently of education, but I was then only 6, and for now, there was much work. Our family was increasing. I now had 3 brothers and 3 sisters. And it took much food to keep such a family satisfied. Even now, I can see the rough, gnarled, battered hands of my father as he worked in the mines. And with him, I see my dear mother, who day after day would go into the forest with us and carry load after load of wood upon her back. It was a stern life, not only in view of the need for hard work, but also in discipline. One day, my father arrived home with news that concerned all of us.
Margaret! Margaret, where are you?
Right here, Hans.
Oh, girl, there you are.
Oh, what is the matter? Why are you so excited?
I have good news. I don't have to work in the mine any longer.
Hans.
That's right. I am done with all of it. No more dust, no more...
What good fortune is this?
I have purchased a smelting furnace. Now we shall be our own masters, and we shall have enough to eat. And too, my dear, we shall be able to carry out our plans.
Plans?
Yeah. Martin will now be able to attend school.
education of a young lot in Germany was a thing greatly desired by parents, especially poor parents. My father was anxious that I should have the education he never received. School was a new adventure for me, but there were many similarities to home. I've told you already of the strict discipline of our home. We had a personal acquaintanceship with the whip from both father and mother. And things were a little different in school. It was because of faltering the Latin declension that I first tasted the whip.
There, Martin Luther. I hope I have whipped some sense into you. Now go back to your seat.
Yes, sir.
And the next time I shall give you 20 lashes instead of only 15. How would you like that? Answer me.
I will try to do better in the future, sir.
See that you do, else you taste the whip again. Now, class, returning to our declension.
Such was the Latin school of Mansfield. But we did learn some important things. We studied the calendar of Cecil James, a very singular work written in the 11th century. I was taught the Catechism, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and some hymns. And, of course, we learned Latin. Indeed, we did learn Latin. School days continued at Mansfeld until I was 13. Then I was sent to the school of a religious brotherhood called the Neubruter in the neighboring town of Magdeburg. I remember my mother and father giving me a last word of counsel.
We can send little with you, Martin, and perhaps it is for the best.
I made this better for you, Martin. It is not much, but it will help to keep you warm when the cold comes. Thank you, Mother. I wish there was more.
Yeah, we have more, Margaret. We have our faith. Martin remembers that. He will get along all right.
You are Martin. I believe you will. Remember your faith. Never forget God.
The new school at Neubruter, it was the same. I remember what my mother and father had said about faith in God. But God for me meant authority, and authority always carried a whip. The schoolmasters, my father, I even ran from a farmer who tried to give me food. I developed a continually guilty conscience, and authority was something to tremble and run from, even when that authority was God. I had hoped that at the new school, life would be better. But it wasn't, and I was still afraid.
I wish we did not have to beg for our very existence.
It is not easy to beg for food and clothes, but we are sons of poor men. Please, sir, we would like to sing you a song. We are poor students in the school.
I am a very busy man.
Please, sir, we sing very well, you will see.
Quickly, then, sing me your song.
All around our village, all around our village, all around our village, as we have done before.
You have very good voices. Here is something for both of you. No, I dropped them.
So that is all right, sir. I will pick it up. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, sir. He was a very fine gentleman.
Because he gave us a coin?
Well, very few do.
I wish we did not have to do this.
Martin, why do not you come with me to Eisenach? I'm thinking of going there to school. They say it is much easier to bake there, too.
Eisenach? Oh, my mother has relatives in Eisenach. Perhaps it would be better.
It is strange that you should ask us about Eisenach, my son.
Why, father?
Your mother and I have been speaking about it ourselves.
I have several relatives there, and perhaps it would be easier for you there than in Magdeburg.
My friend in school says begging is easier in Eisenach.
Oh, to think that my son must even think of begging.
Yeah, I wish the furnace brought in more income, my son, but we are only able to provide for our own needs. You see that we have no luxuries.
I do not mind, father, just so I shall be able to continue my studies. If I must beg, I will do so.
You are good, son. When I bought the second furnace, I thought things would be better.
They will, Hans, I feel sure of it. Have faith.
Yeah, father, things already look better for me. They will for you,
sir. Yeah, let us pray God that they will.
The enthusiasm of youth. I could not understand my father's worry. But in Eisenach, I learned a little restraint. My relatives were many, but they were also poor, and they could not help me. It was not easy to walk the streets and beg, but it had to be done, and I did it. Many of us would begin our begging before school began and continue after it was finished. Sometimes he receives money, sometimes food, sometimes...
He doesn't stay out. You young beggars ought to be carried away with all the other trash. Go on, but I will have the law on you.
One day, after having been somewhat forcefully turned away from three houses and feeling especially melancholy, it was my birthday... I paused in the square of St. George to consider whether or not I should just give in to circumstance and return home to work in the copper mine with my father, or...
Here, boy. Over here. I want to talk to you.
Was it me you called, ma'am?
Yeah, I like your voice. It is like your face. Sturdy and clear and honest. Are you going to school here in Eisenach?
At the school of St. George, Mom.
I am Farquharta. I do not like to be called Mom. What is your name?
Martin Luther.
Martin? Do you know that today is Saint's Day? Martin of Tours?
Yeah, I was named after him. Today, it is my birthday, Farquharta.
Birthday? And here you are begging in the streets.
I am the son of a poor man. I have to beg.
Martin, today you don't have to beg. Would you like to come in and have your birthday supper with us?
I can't...
Good, come along then. Feel better?
Yeah, ma'am. I mean, Frau Carter.
Then you can think for a minute. I have something I want to ask you, Martin.
Yeah, Frau Carter?
You say that your parents are poor in Mansfeld and that you are supporting yourself here?
I guess that is what you would call it.
Martin, I have already told you that I like you. That is why I asked you in today.
Frau Carter, I do not...
Finish, Martin. I want you to come here to live. We are, as you see, well off, and I feel you would be a worthwhile expense, if I may put it that way.
Yeah, Mama. I mean, Frau Carter, I mean... You want me to live here?
Did I say that youth was too full of hopes? Not even youth could have hoped this good fortune. Alcata was not only wealthy, her family had established a Franciscan monastery at the foot of the Wartburg. And she was none other than the daughter of the mayor of Eisenach. I could hardly believe that there were people like Frau Carter. People who like to help others and not be repaid.
Tomorrow we are going up to the monastery. You would like to see it, would you not?
Yeah.
It is there I go when I am unhappy or tired. The old buildings have a peace which have come down through the years. It's just good to sit there and look at them.
Are you unhappy now, Frau Carter?
No, not me, Martin. It's you this time.
Me?
Yeah, you need the friendship of the people who live there. You need to have their peace and the serenity. And God help me, I'm going to see that you get it.
We went together to the monastery, Frau Carter and I. I will never forget that first day at the Franciscan cloister, or the many other days I spent there in the following years. Frau Carter had been right. The buildings held a secret. Those rugged ancient walls gave me a feeling of security, and that was just what I needed. And there were the monks. I spent many hours talking to them. I did not realize then how much my experience there was helping to shape the pattern of my life.
Oh, these old buildings and gardens are wonderful. They know nothing of this world and its troubles.
Perhaps Frau Carter thought it's just as well. If they knew, they might decide to disintegrate, leave us with it.
Horrible thought. Then where would I go to find my peace?
So have no fear. Your monastery shall always be here.
It is not the buildings that change. It is the people, is it not?
Exactly, my boy. The people build and the people destroy. Once our church was pure, rich. Today, it is only rich. Its glories are in the past.
No, do not say that.
Frau Carter, I fear, I tremble. Men have prophesied the Reformation, but none has accomplished it.
It will come.
Martin, have you ever heard of John Hillen?
No.
Of course not. They wouldn't teach you about him.
Who was he?
My son, John Hillen, was a man who prophesied a reformation of the church by a coming monk. He said would come in the year 1516.
And what happened to him?
He was imprisoned, just as everyone else who openly dares to speak against the church.
I like to think John Hillen spoke the truth. I like to think that the monk will come, that he'll come and save our church.
Yeah, Frau Carter. It's nice to think about. And here in these lovely gardens, it even seems possible. But the dream fades when we leave this place of meditation, go out into the world.
Nevertheless, I'll not give up that hope. Maybe that man John Hillen spoke of is living in Germany this minute.
Perhaps, who knows? Maybe he's even in Eisenach. He might be at the school of St. George. Who knows? He may even be here in our monastery. Oh, God grant that it should be so.
Say that God dealt kindly with me, especially since you know that I had to beg for my very existence, even during my primary schooling. But he did. In Eisenach, he led me to the home of a very wonderful and prominent lady, whose father was the mayor. Her name was Frau Ursula Carter. She found me singing for my supper and opened her home and her heart to me. I remained with her for 3 years, studying in the local school. Ah, to be able to study and not have to beg to live. And I did study Latin, German, literature, and science. I even dabbled in the fine arts.
Ah, very good, Martin. Very good.
Thank you. It is a lawful instrument.
You play more.
Thank you.
good, very good.
I'm also learning to play the lute, Frau Carter.
Are you? Why is such a difficult instrument?
Not really. I find it easier than the flute. I suppose I like the lute even more because it is an accompaniment to singing.
Yeah, you should always sing, Martin. That is how I first met you. You were singing to me, remember?
How could I ever forget? You and your husband have been so kind to me. I do not know how I can ever repay you.
You can repay us by being a good student. We expect great things from you, Martin.
Excuse me, Frau Carter. I'll answer it. Father, what are you doing in Eisenach?
I came to see you, my son. My, you are looking fine.
Oh, you are looking very well also, Father. Thank you. Come in.
Hello there. How nice of you to visit us. Come in and make yourself comfortable.
Thank you, Frau Carter. And thank you, too, for being so kind to Martin. He has written many wonderful things about you and your husband.
If you believe the things he has told you, you must also believe that it has been a very real pleasure to have him here.
It is a great surprise to see you, Father.
Ah, my son, I have great news for you.
It must be important news to bring you all the way to Eisenach.
No. You stay, please, Frau Carter. Now, for one thing, the business is progressing much better. I am showing a profit in both smelting furnaces, and we are living a lot more comfortable.
Oh, that is good to hear.
And then, your father is now a councilman at Mansfeld.
You are a member of the city council?
That is correct.
Congratulations.
Oh, they have a good man, father.
Let's talk about you, Martin. I can now afford to send you to university. You will study law there. And following that, of course, you make a prosperous marriage.
Marriage? Is that not quite a long way off, Herr Luther?
Not so far that it can't be planned for, Frau Carter.
Oh, and what else have you decided?
University? The University of Erfurt.
Ah, yes. He who would study rightly must go to Erfurt. Mm. You believe that old saying too, right?
It is true.
And Martin, he has not said a word. What do you think about it all?
I really cannot say anything. I never thought I would go to the university.
Well, you are going now, Martin. Your father has great plans, and I shall miss you.
When the world saw me as a not very desirable beggar. There is nothing sweeter on earth than the heart of a woman in which piety dwells. Interesting how some people encourage thoughts like that.
Well, begging days were over. My father now supported me through the university. I registered at the University of Erfurt the second semester, 1512. It had a stimulating atmosphere and brought me out an eagerness in me for knowledge that I did not know I possessed. I began every day with a prayer, the hours spent with the monks in Eisenach, and tried to keep the rules of the church. And not sitting in the classroom, I was in the library. I wondered if I'd ever be able to read all those books.
I'm studying. What is it?
You're going outside. It's too stuffy in here. Want to come along?
I can't. I don't want to finish this.
Your boy's got your nose in a book. I'm going to take it out once in a while.
But do not bother him, Gunther. My brother is going to be a great professor someday. Let Herr Professor study.
No, not the professor. Martin is going to be a philosopher. In fact, he already is one.
Philosopher? Of what?
Everything. He reads, plays the lute, is pious. Yes, Martin will be a philosopher of everything.
Well, I am no philosopher. I'm used to one. Let us leave Herr Philosopher to his book.
Wait for me.
Does such kind of thing bother you, Martin?
Huh? Oh,
No, Professor Trebonius. No river, just plain.
I heard what was said. It's a great compliment to be called a philosopher, you know.
I know.
Is that what you want to be, Martin?
I'm not sure what I want to be, Professor.
To be a philosopher is good, my boy. But already we have too many stuffy philosophers who write too many stuffy books. Nobody reads them.
My father wants me to study law.
Well, a good lawyer must always be a good philosopher. But I want to tell you one thing, Martin.
Yeah?
Do not be afraid to say what you think is right. Stand up for the things you believe in. We need men with convictions in this world today. Men who are not afraid to say what they think, no matter what the consequences.
Words such as those are only trite and meaningless, unless, as in this case, they come from a man who lived by them. Professor Trebonius was radical in his respect for students. He used to say, there are among those boys men of whom God will one day make burgomasters, chancellors, doctors, and magistrates. Although you do not see them with the badges of their dignity, it is right that you should treat them with respect. It was from a man such as this that you could take genuine inspiration. I received my bachelor's degree in 1502 in the summer and immediately began work toward my master's degree. Once more, life settled down to routine schoolwork.
Well, Martin, I see you are well occupied.
Oh, Professor, I did not see you there.
Do you spend much time here in the library?
As much as I can. There are so many books here. Books I've never even heard about. I like to come here and become more acquainted with them.
Excellent. Excellent.
Not only are many of these books strange to me, Professor, but also the names of the authors. I was just looking through this shelf of books when you came over.
How old are you, Martin?
20 years old, sir. Fine.
I am trying to look ahead a few years and visualize what you will be when you have satisfied your thirst for knowledge.
Oh, that will never be. There is too much to be learned in the world.
That fact is true. What is that you are looking at, Martin?
This book that was back in the corner. I've never seen it before. The Holy Bible. The Martin.
Have you never seen a Bible before?
This is the very first time, Professor. This amazes me. I never knew it was so large.
What do you mean?
Well, of course, the Bible has been read in the church. I've heard it there.
Yeah?
But we've heard only from the Gospels and some of the writings of St. Paul. There seems to be so much more to it than this.
There is more. Much more. That is why there are schools of theology.
Oh, it looks to be a most fascinating book. I must read it.
Offhand, I would say it is probably the most profitable reading you can do.
Is it truly the word of God, as is claimed?
Yeah, Martin, it is. That is what the church declares.
Well, then, why was this copy placed in the corner? It was merely gathering dust.
I do not know. Except that it is at times very difficult to understand.
But if it is truly the word of God, it should be read. It should be taught diligently.
Finding the Bible was a great discovery, the greatest I'd ever made. I began to read it avidly. I remember the first portion I ever read from the Bible. It was the story of Hannah and young Samuel. It was a story that brought me much joy. I returned to the library often to read this book. It was the first real contact I had experienced with the truth of God. Books were not allowed to be taken from the library, and I prayed that someday I might have a copy of the Bible to read for my own.
Martin, wait for me.
What is it, Alexis? What's wrong?
I have terrible news. The plague has broken out in town. Even some of the students have it.
The plague? The Black Plague?
No. It is here.
It does not seem possible.
That is not all. Two of the students are dead from it already.
This is terrible. It's all over Europe, killing.
The doctors are checking up on everybody. Martin, do you take me to get it?
Plague had come, the dread Black Plague. I wasn't worried about getting it myself. All I could think about were the students who had died from it, boys with whom I had laughed, studied. They were dead. For the first time, my thoughts turned seriously to religion and to the Bible I'd begun to read. And it was then also that I began to ask myself, when will you be righteous? Then will you do enough good in the world to obtain the favor of God?
Martin Luther, wait for me.
What is it, Alexis? What is wrong?
I have terrible news. The plague has broken out here in town. Even some of the students have it.
The plague? The Black Plague?
No, it is here, in Erfurt.
It does not seem possible.
And that is not all. Two of the students are dead from it already.
This is terrible. It has spread all over Europe, killing.
The doctors are checking up on everybody. Martin, do you think they will get it?
The Black Plague came to Erfurt while I was at the university studying for my master's degree. The onslaught was sudden and it spread very quickly. One moment we were studying and laughing together, the next, many of the students and professors were dead.
This was a terrible experience for all of us. But often much good comes from just such experiences.
For the first time in my life, I was forced to think seriously about religion. I was suddenly faced with my unrighteousness and the possible encounter with the righteous God I had been reading about in the Bible. School was dismissed because of all the sickness, and I went home for a vacation. It was Easter. I'd forgotten just how beautiful the German countryside could be at this time of year. There was much to tell my mother and father, much to show them, especially my new sword. It was the custom in those days for travelers to wear swords, and mine was beautiful. My good friend Alexis was going home in the same direction, and we walked together.
We are almost 2 months, felt Martin. Almost home for you. It does not seem possible that they should have left the plague behind.
Oh, but it does seem possible. Look at this beautiful day.
Yeah.
It's good to return home on such a day, huh?
I'm still several days' journey from my home.
You must stop at our place.
I should like to continue, Martin. We do not know how long the university will be closed because of the plague. And I want to take full advantage of this vacation.
All right, we must use this time for work. It will not be a vacation. The expenses are greater each week, it seems.
I have been observing you this entire trip, Martin. You constantly look at this sword by your side. You are quite proud of it, are you not?
Yeah, but you have a sword too.
But mine is old. None too sharp. Yours is almost new. Bright and shiny, beautiful weapon. Must have cost you a fortune.
Not a fortune, but enough. I worked many weeks for it. See?
It is a good sword, all right. But be careful, Martin. Those things can be dangerous.
Oh, not when you know how to use them. I've been reading a book about defending yourself with a sword. This is one of the tricks I learned. Watch me.
First to the right. Then in like this. Oh,
Martin! It cut right through your shoe.
My foot is bleeding, Alexis. Do something.
I do not really know what to do. Here, let me take off your shoe. I don't want to hurt you. There you are. Oh, what a nasty ice. Have you something with which you can...